seeing the sparkle in somebody's eye when they see the how much a turtle or a population benefits to just the little actions they do. There's small changes in human behavior. It just speaks the world to me.
Good morning, I'm Tommy Halm, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT FM 94.9 in San Diego. Tree Huggers International is a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program dedicated to the preservation of parks, wilderness, and special places, from the beaches to the mountains to the deserts. This is Tree Huggers International. Be careful and use this show with caution, because you might just learn something. We at Tree Huggers International are very excited to be, for the third year in a row now, the media sponsor for the Pro Peninsula Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival. And as the film festival has grown in the San Diego community, so have the venues. And this year, the film festival will be happening at the Town and Country Resort in San Diego's Mission Valley. Now, the date is Wednesday, April the 13th, from 6:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m., and it's going to be taking place in conjunction with this year's International Sea Turtle Symposium, the 31st Annual Sea Turtle Symposium, April 12th through the 15th. And if you've never been to the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival before, this is a great opportunity to see some groundbreaking environmental films way ahead of time and actually see them in the cinema the way they were meant to be seen. Several years ago, we first welcomed Kama Dean to the program, back when Kama was only the co-founder and director of Pro Peninsula, an organization best known for their efforts to save wild sea turtles in the waters of Baja California, but also dedicated to strengthening efforts to protect the natural environment of Baja. And today, Pro Peninsula is a fund within the Ocean Foundation, and Kama continues her leadership role with Pro Peninsula and is also a program officer with the Ocean Foundation. We're very excited to have Kama back on the program today. Also joining us today is Dr. Jeffrey Seminoff, a marine ecologist with the San Diego National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Lab and leader of the Marine Turtle Ecology and Assessment Program. Dr. Seminoff does a lot of work with federal agencies to update marine turtle status assessments for the Endangered Species Act. He is adjunct faculty at Indiana Purdue University and the University of Florida, and he's involved with numerous marine conservation initiatives, including helping to bring the International Sea Turtle Symposium to San Diego. And we'll also check in with Pro Peninsula Communications and Marketing Manager Juliana Schroeder a little bit later on in the program to talk about some of the films on tap for this year's Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival. But right now, Kama Dean, Jeffrey Seminoff, it is very nice to have the two of you here. Welcome to Tree Huggers International.
Thanks, Tommy.
Great to be here, Tommy.
And Kama, it's been a couple of years, so I was wondering if you could go over the mission of Pro Peninsula and how it came together, and how Pro Peninsula became a component of the Ocean Foundation.
Pro Peninsula has been working here in the San Diego community. We were founded about 10 years ago, back in 2001. And our goal was focused on the Baja California Peninsula, really working with community to strengthen community efforts to protect the natural environment throughout the region, throughout Northwest Mexico. In late 2009, we merged with the Ocean Foundation, which is a national nonprofit based out of D.C. We are now the San Diego office of the Ocean Foundation. And all of our programs came under the umbrella of the Ocean Foundation into what you referred to, as you said, the Pro Peninsula portfolio or the Pro Peninsula Fund. So we continue to do all of our community-based conservation work throughout Baja California. But we're also, now that we're part of the Ocean Foundation, working nationally to protect our oceans worldwide. And so we are lucky enough, I think it's opened a lot of doors for us to be able to focus on our efforts on a wider scale, be able to bring San Diego the opportunities to participate in things like the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, participate in the International Sea Turtle Symposium, and really bring this idea of ocean conservation and ocean awareness on a global scale here to San Diego.
And you mentioned community involvement. That was the first thing I really thought was interesting and unusual about Pro Peninsula. Not that unusual, but that it was different than other environmental organizations in that you really were doing, it was literally grassroots, sand roots perhaps. You were literally spending time with fishermen in Baja communities and really expressing this idea of sea turtle conservation.
I like that sand roots. I've never heard that.
We're turtle huggers today.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good new phrase. And we do all of our work really focused on involving communities, involving fishermen, housewives, students, local scientists, and others in conservation. And that was to protect sea turtles as well as coastal resources, freshwater supplies, reefs, seabirds, and all of those projects continue under the Ocean Foundation. We have environmental education projects. We have fisheries projects working with fishermen on fishing techniques to avoid bycatch of sea turtles and fish in a responsible and sustainable manner. We have projects looking at working with fishermen to avoid seabird bycatch. All of those themes still run true in the Pro Peninsula Fund, that it's focused at the community level and involving local communities in protecting their environment.
And Jeff, I mean, you're an expert on sea turtles and sea turtle conservation, and I realize everything in the natural world is interconnected, but can you talk a bit about why sea turtles are vital to a healthy ocean ecosystem?
Sea turtles, I think they're sort of taking the place of whales and dolphins and pandas and things like that, and that they're becoming the real conservation icon throughout the United States. One of the things that we focus so much on is the impoverished populations. And so what sort of impact does that have when you have a species or a population that's completely depleted down to like 5 or 10% of its normal population levels? Well, in this case, I've sort of consider sea turtles as what we call ecosystem engineers. And they have this particular role in coastal ecosystems that really make them vital to the coastal health. And to give you a perfect example, here in San Diego Bay, one of the sort of best-kept environmental secrets that I think is the fact that we have a thriving green sea turtle population. We have 60 to 80 turtles weighing up to about 400 pounds that live in the South San Diego Bay. We know this because we're out there every couple of weeks catching those animals and tracking their movements, tracking their behaviors and their health and things like that. But what's so important with those animals, Tommy, is that these are herbivores, so they're eating algae and seagrass in those coastal communities. And it's through their consumption of those seagrasses and that algae that they sort of keep those systems in check. They prevent the seagrasses from overpopulating and taking over other habitats. And also through eating those foods is they eat them, they eat the seagrass, they digest it, they excrete out their waste. And what it does is it makes all those nutrients that were sort of harnessed or jailed in that seagrass available to the local ecosystem much more rapidly than if that seagrass was just to break down and die off on its own. So they're actually kind of like the chispa or the spark of the nutrient flow within these coastal ecosystems.
And how did the Sea Turtle Symposium come about?
The symposium has been around for 31 years. So we're hosting the 31st annual Sea Turtle Symposium. And traditionally, it was focused in the southeastern United States, and as the sea turtle movement sort of globalized, the society that runs this symposium, it's called the International Sea Turtle Society, realized that we could make a real difference by being strategic of where we have this meeting. Because when you're bringing in the numbers of people to these events, and in this case in San Diego, we have about 1,000 people from about 82, 83 countries, so it's an incredibly diverse, cultural, enriching experience for people in these local communities, and it brings a sense of conservation ethic to wherever the meeting is. And so where it uses, in the past, it had always been in the southeast U.S. In the late 1990s, the meeting started jumping around the world. And it's been to Mexico and to Greece. In the last 3 years, actually, it was in Baja California, Mexico. Then it jumped to Brisbane, Australia. And last year, it was in Goa, India. And so I am just so pleased to have the opportunity to host this meeting here in San Diego. And I've been involved with the symposium now for well over 10 years. Finally, it got to the point where we had never had a meeting on the U.S. West Coast. There'd been about 25 of them on the East Coast. Nothing had been west of Texas, so we really wanted to get it over here to sort of bring focus to not just San Diego, but to California and the U.S. West Coast about all the marine turtle conservation challenges that are out there.
And Cameron, let me ask you this question, because you manage the Grupo Tortuguero de las Californias, or Sea Turtle Conservation Network of the Californias. You did that for several years, and this included overseeing the monitoring of sea turtles and education like you were talking about earlier. So it seems like a pretty natural fit that the Sea Turtle Symposium is coming to San Diego and that Pro Peninsula is involved with that. But can you talk about your work when you were working with the Sea Turtle Conservation Network?
I did, and it was actually Jeff was one of two people, Jeff and Jay Nichols, who introduced me to the network and really invited me to get involved. And it was an amazing opportunity for me to get involved in the sea turtle world and be able to work for so many years with the Grupo Tortuguero. And they are now their own nonprofit in Mexico. I'm actually on the board. I'm the president of their board still, so I'm still really involved. But they're running everything themselves locally down out of La Paz and are doing a phenomenal job. I actually just got back from their 13th annual meeting. And it was with their 10th annual meeting that we held their 10th annual meeting in conjunction with the International Sea Turtle Symposium in Laredo. Mm. That Jeff mentioned how it was in Baja a few years ago. And so that was, I had been to the Turtle Symposium in years prior, but hadn't really been involved in the planning, and so got involved that year in planning and really working to involve the local Mexican sea turtle community in that international meeting that came to Laredo. And so now to get to do that here in San Diego is really exciting. And thank Jeff for including me in the planning and getting to do this again with such an amazing meeting and bring it to my community and get involve my community in it.
You know, I just wanted to jump in for a second and first of all say that, Cammie, you've been so vital as part of our organizing team here in San Diego. And now in the position that I have of sort of leading this thing, of how difficult and challenging it is to run one of these meetings. But if I may just for a second, Tommy, is rewind and talk about Pro Peninsula, because Cammie alluded to something that I think is really important to point out. And it really spells to the incredible integrity of Pro Peninsula. And if we rewind 5 years ago, the Grupo Tortuguero was the primary sort of project, the identity, so to speak, of Pro Peninsula. And over time, that the Grupo Tortuguero network in Baja grew and grew. And it took such leadership on the part of Cammie and others within Pro Peninsula to realize that this thing has gotten to the point where it has grown so organically that it can stand on its own. And for them to then sort of fledge this thing and still be integrally involved with the day-to-day operations, but to have it be its own nonprofit away from the Pro Peninsula model, really shows that they had incredible confidence in not just the Grupo Tortuguero product, but in the other projects that Pro Peninsula was running. And so I think what that has done has allowed the Grupo Tortuguero component of this to really expand and really fulfill its potential. But here locally in San Diego and also in Baja California, it's allowed the Pro Peninsula franchise, if you will, to expand into many different realms. And it's just strengthened their integrity in the fabric of what Pro Peninsula does to an extent that I don't think we could have imagined 5 years ago.
And, you know, let me take a step back and ask you this. What are some of the major threats facing sea turtles today? Mm-hmm. And how does your research address this with the work you do in support of the Endangered Species Act?
When people talk about turtles, very often the sort of gloom and doom comes to mind first, that we have they're all endangered or threatened on the Endangered Species Act, and indeed that's true, and this is from a variety of threats, from fisheries bycatch, where there's various fishing gear out in the ocean, like long lines or drift nets, that accidentally capture turtles, and certainly that is happening. And we have impacts to the direct harvest of turtles, the females that come out to nest, or the eggs that they deposit in the sand, are cherished as food resources for cultures around the world. The habitat degradation that just happens from burgeoning coastal populations is a big problem. And sort of the buzz term now is the climate change and impacts on sea turtles, which indeed, perhaps not today, but in the future, is going to spell it'll be major challenges for sea turtles. But it's not all gloom and doom. There are actually some real bright spots, some real success stories with sea turtles around the world. And this is a testament to the conservation networks that are out there, like the Grupo Tortuguero de las Californias. And a lot of these populations are starting to recover from, say, 2 decades ago when those populations truly were heavily impacted. And so from the standpoint of my role within the NOAA, this National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the Marine Turtle Program that I run, a lot of what we do is work with our international partners from throughout the world, but focusing largely in Latin America in my case, to gather information on the status of populations in different areas. And with that information, we develop these assessments that then the Endangered Species Act looks at to determine whether or not this population should be threatened or should be endangered or should be taken off the endangered species list altogether, say like a California gray whale that happened a few years ago or the brown pelican last year. Those would be real success stories. And I'm not sure we're there yet with sea turtles, but these status assessments you allude to, Tommy, are simply ways for us to get our finger on the pulse of what's happening with these populations. So when the time comes to make effective and responsible decisions about managing fisheries or managing coastal development, we're equipped with the information to do the best thing.
Kamma, talk about how the San Diego community and Southern California really benefits from having a symposium like this take place here.
Jeff mentioned earlier that we're expecting about 1,000 people from over 80 countries worldwide, all the top sea turtle experts from around the world, everybody who really is working, doing the work that Jeff alluded to figure out, you know, how do we save these sea turtles and what do we do to make sure they can continue to fulfill their ecological roles. And Jeff, through his leadership, has really been pushing to make this meeting a benefit to the San Diego community. And we are involving through the Ocean Connectors Project, which is a program within the Pro Peninsula Fund. We're involving local students and teachers in one full day of the symposium. And we're also able to involve the local San Diego community through the film festival. We'll be showing films by sea turtle scientists, people who work within the sea turtle world. They'll be showing their films as well as the wild and scenic films. And people from the symposium will be participating. So if you're interested in films, if you're interested at all in turtles, this is an amazing opportunity to come out, meet the people who are doing the work in the field, really learn about what's going on with turtles and see some of their great footage.
And again, another very little known fact is that if you consider the context of the whole United States West Coast, San Diego is the sea turtle capital. We've got this incredible green turtle population here locally that so few people know about. It's a species that is in all ocean basins except for the polar regions. They live in local, you know, sort of coastal habitats, and San Diego Bay is an ideal habitat for these animals. Despite the fact that it's incredibly industrialized, there's some challenges with respect to coastal development and habitat degradation, yet these turtles continue to grow and prosper and are doing just great.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International, broadcast from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. I'm Tommy Helm, and we're joined in the studio today by Kamma Dean from Pro Peninsula and the Ocean Foundation, and also Dr. Jeffrey Seminoff, a marine ecologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and leader of the Marine Turtle Ecology and Assessment Program. Also, Juliana Schroeder, the Communications and Marketing Manager for Pro Peninsula, is joining us today. We're talking about this year's Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival happening in conjunction with this year's International Sea Turtle Symposium. Now, that's going to be happening from the 12th to the 15th of April at the Town and Country Resort in San Diego's Mission Valley. The film festival itself is happening on April the 13th from 6:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m., For more information on the film festival, go to www.propeninsula.org/wildscenic. That's propeninsula.org/wildscenic. And the root website for Pro Peninsula is propeninsula.org. The website for the Ocean Foundation is www.oceanfdn.org. That's oceanfdn.org. And you can call Pro Peninsula for more information at 619-574-6643. That's 619-574-6643. And Juliana, I'm going to call you Gigi. How do you go about selecting the films for the film festival every year? I mean, do you get a chance to see them at a screening, or do you often wind up seeing them on a video or a DVD someone sends you, or do you have to go to a website and watch it there?
Well, for the wild and scenic portion, because this year the event is twofold, we're going to have the International Sea Turtle Symposium films as well as the wild and scenic films. For the wild and scenic, we get a very convenient package of on-tour films that they provide for over 90 different communities around the U.S. that showcase this film festival. Of those 90 films, we usually get the trailer form, but this year I had the opportunity to go to the actual event in Nevada City, over 5,000 people, a four-day event, and I saw over 32 films in 4 days. I was
You were movied out.
Yes, I was inspired, and my mind had never been saturated with so much information. I was just so pumped up to host this event this year. So this year I actually saw a lot of the films, not the trailer form. So
there's going to be a spotlight on some local filmmakers who have produced a film called Gum for My Boat.
Yes, that's a really great film. The filmmaker is Russell Brownlee. He lives in Carlsbad. He's a local filmmaker. And he will be present at the film festival to introduce the film and to speak to all of our guests. This film is a really cute and inspiring film tapping on surf culture in Bangladesh. So they start documenting the first surfer ever in India and the club that he starts. It's really cool. And he does it with boys and girls in a teenage age that they're starting to surf, really appreciating the ocean and the tranquility and the culture that surf culture provides. And this film also talks about the nonprofit organization Surfing the Nation and how they just try to integrate the surf culture into the communities and how they have like humanitarian acts.
And then Majestic Plastic Bag, I got to talk about this.
That's an incredible short film that we'll be showing. It's a short 4-minute film and it's narrated by Jeremy Irons. It's a mockumentary, and it basically treats the plastic bag as if it were an endangered species following around the city as it arrives to its final destination of the Pacific Ocean Gyre.
And then there's another film called Vaquita. Now, is that an animal in the Sea of Cortez?
Or? Yes, exactly. So Vaquita Marina, it's an endangered porpoise, and it resides in the Sea of Cortez. There are estimated to only be around 100 to 200 porpoises left. And this filmmaker, Chris Johnson, who has been following different mammals all over the world and their decline in population, he's been following the vaquita and created this incredible documentary.
And I think this other film that I wanted to ask you about sort of plays into the twofold aspect mm-hmm. of this year's film festival, and that is Between the Harvest.
That's one of the films I am excited to bring, and I also think it's going to produce a lot of emotional reactions just because it discusses the harvesting of sea turtle eggs in Costa Rica, I think particularly Ostional and Tortuguero.
The eggs are harvested for human consumption, whether it's for like a chicken egg you'd eat, but more so for the aphrodisiac qualities. And mm-hmm. These eggs, they find their way from the beaches to bars throughout Central America. And they get sold for $1 to $2 each for a single egg that the bar goers, bar hoppers, then eat, usually crude. They call it huevos crudos or some raw eggs, and it's supposed to make men más macho. Somebody that's worked with turtles for 20 years, I can tell you that I'm especially excited to see this film. And it's I think it focuses largely on the legal harvest of sea turtle eggs in Ostional on the Pacific coast of Costa Rica. And I say legal because the government gave a local community there a concession to actually harvest these eggs. And what the film does is shows that it's not always that simple, and just looking at communities and how much they need those eggs for economic or subsistence value. But there's some real challenge with creating these sustainable harvests, and not to let the cat out of the bag as far as the results of this film, but you just got to come and check it out.
Is Costa Rica significant because they have made this legal? This occurs elsewhere, but Costa Rica sort of said, well, we're going to keep an eye on this, we're going to regulate it.
Well, I think what's interesting about it is that Costa Rica is considered one of the conservation capitals of the world. And you think of Costa Rica, you think of green landscapes and
rainforests
and populations of species that are well protected. And you have this one situation, which is sort of an accident in history almost, that's my take on it anyway, that you have these eggs being harvested and we really don't know if it's sustainable or not.
So Between the Harvest is the name of that film. And then another film called Truck Farm, which I'm just guessing from the title is probably a slightly more humorous take on conservation.
Yes, so Truck Farm is from the makers of King Corn. Great twist on urban agriculture. Basically, Ian and Curtis Ellis create this farm out of the back of their truck. And they travel the world and they're trying to educate people on local urban agriculture, and they're learning also from alternate urban agricultures like the rooftops and just the smaller local community farms. They add a musical component. It's hilarious. I laugh through the whole thing. There's Heartbreak Turtle Today. Karen Allen will be presenting her film at the film festival, and it kind of taps into what happened with the oil spill. And one of the great things about our film festival that even though we're going to have the two auditoriums running simultaneously, we were going to give the guests the liberty to bounce back from one film room to the next so they can carry their program around and see the films that fancy them the most.
It's kind of like Coachella.
Yeah. Exactly. No, it's a really fun way of doing it. That's how Wild and Scenic was done in Nevada, and They had 8 different auditoriums all over the city, and I was running all over the place just to see my favorite films. And
you guys still have some sponsorship opportunities, too, for this, correct?
We do, yes. Sponsorships are open, and we have some awesome benefits, especially because this year this event is bigger than ever. We're going to be opening the door for over 1,000 people. Like Jeff and Kama mentioned before, there's people from 80 different countries, representation from all over the world, and this is a great opportunity for businesses and local organizations to really showcase their work and how they work for conservation. Our perks include having a table at the community fair, being in our banners, all our event materials, to even being part of our billboard on the Tijuana border, sponsored by Tijuana Duty Free and Baja Marketing. So for our primary sponsors, they have that spot available for them.
Point Loma Outfitting Company, once again involved with this year's film festival. And also, talk about ticketing for a moment.
Regular tickets usually go for $15, or the VIP ticket is $25, which includes a Pro Peninsula t-shirt, which is made with water-based inks and organic cotton, and they're printed locally. And our VIP party is hosted by Point Loma Outfitting, who's been our sponsor for 2 years now. And it's at their really beautiful store in Liberty Station, and they will be providing complimentary snacks, drinks, music, and opening their store for sale purposes and also donating a portion to Pro Peninsula.
Lo más cerquita la piel, no le hace. Si se le corta un poquito la piel, no le hace.
A ver,
qué bonita está. Ahí está. ¿Qué más trae?
¿De qué?
Video, güey. Ahí del. Sí, listo, listo. Mira, güey, qué diferencia.
No, Nora puede,
pobrecita, no se podía clavar, güey.
With sea turtles and conserving sea turtles, one of the things that always comes out is a sort of yin and yang of human impacts and human conservation ethic for sea turtles. And while on one hand humans are extracting eggs and killing turtles and destroying habitats, on the other hand you have this cadre of scientists and conservation biologists around the world that are doing absolutely amazing things to conserve these species. Sometimes it breaks down to an individual level where you'll have a former turtle poacher that has now been brought into the fold to help conserve turtles. And to me, it's that one-on-one interaction with those sorts of people at that ground, grassroots level, that sand roots level that you talked about earlier, Tommy, that having those interactions and seeing the sparkle in somebody's eye when they see the how much a turtle or a population benefits to just the little actions they do. There's small changes in human behavior. It just speaks the world to me, and it just wakes me up in the morning and gets me to work every single day.
I'm not a scientist. I did policy, and so I feel really lucky to have gotten involved in the way that I have been able to get involved in the sea turtle world. And I get to participate or work with all of these amazing scientists and really see the biology, ecology side of the work that fascinates me. It's not something I studied, and so it sort of always seems new and different to me. And really, sea turtles are fascinating creatures, and just the way they work and the mysteries around them and why they do what they do is fascinating. And through my work now with the Ocean Foundation, I not only get to continue to work with sea turtles in my work with Grupo Tortuguero, my work with Jeff on the symposium, my work with the Ocean Foundation Sea Turtle Fund, but I'm also getting to work worldwide in other ocean issues, so whales and seagrass and corals and the marine conservation movement. I think marine conservation generally is just, it's my passion, and it's such an amazing group of people.
I'm calling it the Wild and Scenic and Sea Turtle Film Festival. And after last year, I had approached Pro Peninsula and Gigi specifically with this idea of having this film festival be part of the symposium. And the fact that it's come together to me is just so awesome, because I'm able to have people from San Diego interact with these people from around the world. And with the refreshments there, it's going to be a vibrant thing. There's the community fair going on. So it's just been a wonderful way to vitalize this community and our understanding of sea turtles here locally.
Dr. Jeffrey Semenoff, very nice having you on the program. Very nice meeting you. Gigi Schroeder, very good seeing you once again. Kama Dean, good seeing you again, Kama. I'm glad you're able to make it back. Thank you all for your contributions, and I'm looking forward to the film festival and the symposium come mid-April. And the symposium, again, is happening April 12th through the 15th. Go to propeninsula.org for all kinds of information.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tommy.
That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Tree Huggers International. I'm Tommy Howe. Thanks once again to Dr. Jeffrey Semenoff from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration talking about this year's International Sea Turtle Symposium and his huge role in bringing that to Southern California. Also, thanks to Kama Dean and Juliana Schroeder from Pro Peninsula. This year's Pro Peninsula Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival is happening in conjunction with the International Sea Turtle Symposium. Now, the symposium is happening April 12th through April the 15th at the Town and Country Resort in San Diego's Mission Valley. And the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival will be happening on Wednesday, April the 13th, right in the middle of the symposium. Doors open for the film festival at 6 p.m. Films begin at 6:30 p.m. sharp. Regular admission tickets are $15. VIP ticket, which includes t-shirt and a VIP party invitation, that's $25. There's more information on buying those tickets at Pro Peninsula's website. That's propeninsula.org. www.propeninsula.org/wild-scenic. propeninsula.org/wild-scenic. And you can call Pro Peninsula for more information at 619-574-6643. That's 619-574-6643. And again, Pro Peninsula is a component of the Ocean Foundation. The root website for the Ocean Foundation, if you want to learn more, is oceanfdn.org. www.oceanfdn.org. And Tree Huggers International is the media sponsor for this year's Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival. We certainly hope to see you out there at the Town and Country Hotel Wednesday, April the 13th. Doors open for the film festival at 6 p.m. The opinions and views expressed on Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of FM 94.9 or Lincoln Financial Media. And as producer, I am solely responsible for this program's content. Questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, you can email me at tommy@fm949sd.com. And for more information on Tree Huggers International and to hear previous editions of the show, go to the Tree Huggers International website at treehuggersintl.com. That's treehuggersintl.com. You can also access the Tree Huggers International page via the FM 94.9 website at www.fm949sd.com. Also, find Tree Huggers International on Twitter and Facebook, and our Twitter address is @TreeHuggersINTL. Tree Huggers International content is now also available on iTunes. This is Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. We'll be back same time next Sunday morning with another take on natural science and environmental affairs as we continue our mission to preserve parks, wilderness, and special places on Tree Huggers International. Thanks for making us a part of your Sunday morning, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be well.